It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Good Friday morning, everyone. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy Rios today. I'll tell you what. If you're like me, you may be a news junkie, okay? But, you know, at the end of the day, you kind of like to turn the news off a little bit and enjoy the evening, have a good dinner, have a good sleep overnight, and then get up in the morning and go at it again. Well, if you're like me, late yesterday afternoon, the status of the Obamacare replacement bill with the Republicans was, as you probably heard, they were going to vote last night on it in the House. But they couldn't come to an agreement, so House Speaker Paul Ryan said, okay, no vote. We're going to continue the negotiations. Members of the House, by now you know it's the Freedom Caucus and the so-called moderates that are not happy with the bill as it is right now. And President Trump has been busy. They've been meeting at the White House. The so-called Tuesday group, they're the moderates. They think this bill goes too far, will hurt some people. The Freedom Caucus are on the more conservative side of things. They want to go all the way and get rid of everything with regards to Obamacare. So, as we went to sleep last night, that was the status. The negotiations were going to continue today, and we're going to maybe have a vote maybe later today if they could come to some kind of agreement or push it back to Monday or Tuesday next week. Well, guess what? Overnight, President Donald Trump said, enough. I've had enough of the talk on all of this. I want to vote up or down right now on this. And Speaker Paul Ryan has agreed. Today, compromise or no compromise, we are going to have a vote. The White House stance overnight and early this morning is this. Enough of talking about this. You've been dealing with it for 7.5 years, Obamacare, and complaining about it. Now we're going to have a vote. And up or down, if we lose, we're going to move on to other things. So, it is a tremendous, tremendous political gamble by President Donald Trump. Let's have a report, kind of sum all of this up. Here's Griff Jenkins of Fox News.
Good morning. Yeah, so the message is pretty clear from the White House. It is enough talk, time to vote. The president, frustrated with efforts to get enough Republicans on board to repeal and replace Obamacare once and for all, throwing down that ultimatum. Sean Spicer weighed in on the O'Reilly Factor last night.
The president's been working the phones. He's had in-person meetings throughout the day. His team's been up and down Capitol Hill here at the White House. This is the opportunity for people who have waited for years to see Obamacare repealed and replaced. And the president has made that case to members throughout the spectrum of the Republican conference. And tomorrow it's time to vote.
The stakes couldn't be higher for President Trump and for Speaker Paul Ryan, who has worked tirelessly to bridge the gaps between the conservative and moderate factions of the Republican Party, that Freedom Caucus holding out. Take a listen to Paul Ryan.
For 7.5 years, we have been promising the American people that we will repeal and replace this broken law because it's collapsing and it's failing families. And tomorrow we're proceeding.
But it appears they're still lacking enough yes votes. The Republicans can afford to lose only 22 votes within their ranks today. And members like Adam Kinzinger says he hopes they can still get there.
We have to be able to get to yes, and that's the difference between being in charge now versus being an opposition party, which we've played in the past. Voting no is easy, but governing and getting to yes is difficult, and we're all going to have to make that decision on our own. I hope we get there.
So the magic number to watch for today is 216. The House begins setting their rules early this morning, but the actual vote probably coming mid to late afternoon.
All right. There you have it. It's showdown time at the OK Corral. I tell you, folks, never a dull moment under this presidency. It is a gamble that probably most other Republican presidents would not take. They would sit down and continue to work on some kind of compromise. But President Trump has said enough is enough. I like what Paul Ryan said there. You know, they've been talking about this for 7.5 years. They all have agreed. You know, there's been these votes, several votes by Republicans while President Obama was still in the White House to repeal Obamacare, get rid of it. So much talk about how bad Obamacare is for people. They may have a card that says they have health insurance, but they can't afford that insurance. And so it comes right down to basically a couple of things that are going on here. One of them is included in this House bill, the American Health Care Act, is giving insurance companies the right to charge a 30% increase in the premiums should people default on their insurance. There's also some problems from the conservative side with regards to giving people tax credits. Many people say there's no difference between the tax credits of this bill and the subsidies that are given in Obamacare. So you've got all of this going on. And there are about 35, 40 members of this Freedom Caucus, which are on the conservative side of things, and some people say up to 50 in the moderate wing. Many of those people, Republicans, coming from states that may have been won by Hillary Clinton in the election, and they want to maintain things. For example, they want to maintain funding to Planned Parenthood. So that's what kind of divide that you have. Will they be able to, under this pressure, under this gun to the head today, because the concern by some Republicans may be when I, especially in the House, they're up for election next year, and we'll be into an election campaign for next year before too long. Do they want to be painted by the White House as being the ones responsible for not getting rid of Obamacare? We will see. We're going to talk more about this in just a moment. But the other big story today continues to be the brutal rape of that little 14-year-old girl at a high school in Maryland. Now, where it stands, you may be aware that two individuals, an 18-year-old, who we know for sure, there's no argument of the fact, in this country illegally has been charged. His name is Henry Sanchez. And the other young man charged is 70-year-old Jose Montano. They've been charged with first-degree rape and two counts of first-degree sexual offense. Now, last night, Tucker Carlson at Fox News did an interview with David Moyse on this rape. He is one of the lawyers for one of the accused. I want to play a little bit of that right now.
So be honest, would you be comfortable having your 14-year-old girl in class with this guy?
I want nothing but safety for my children, their friends, my family, and everyone in my community.
Right. Well, okay, we all do, but that's not answering the question. This specific guy, your client, would you feel comfortable having a loved one go to school with him?
I don't know him. I literally don't know him.
But, I mean, I think that's something you would think through, since you're going to be arguing in public on behalf of this guy. And so doesn't his character, his capacity or not to do something like this, does that enter into it? Do you think, you know, is this guy guilty or not? Is that a consideration for you?
Everything's a consideration. I'm sure there could be a number of questions asked about all three of the people involved in this.
What would the questions be raised about the 14-year-old girl who says that she was raped in the high school bathroom and apparently whose screams were heard by her classmates? Man, you better be right about this, because if you're going to be impugning the character of a 14-year-old girl who says she was raped, other people say they heard her screams. I mean, to impugn her character, I mean, you really, before God, better be sure that you're on the right side of this.
All right. That was an interview last night between Tucker Carlson and David Moyse, the lawyer for 18-year-old Henry Sanchez. And I guess in what some would call a typical legal tactic, He seems to be prepared to impugn the character of the little 14-year-old girl who was raped. Now, yes, they are the accused, but there's no question with the cops that this little girl's story is true. Without getting too specific, inside the washroom at that high school where this incident took place, this assault took place, they were able to collect evidence, fluids. There is outrage there. And to add to all of this, this incident took place at this high school in Montgomery County, which is basically a suburb of Washington, D.C. The county and the state, in the midst of all of this, are willing to become sanctuaries for illegals. That has just totally outraged people, including the Republican governor of Maryland, Larry Hogan. By the way, Education Secretary Betsy DeVos was there yesterday. She weighed in on it, saying the president has made a crackdown on illegal immigration a priority because of tragedies like this. And by the way, what we do know of 18-year-old Henry Sanchez, he crossed the border illegally last August, and he was let go by the Border Patrol, supposedly because of the order from Barack Obama. He was let go, given a little piece of paper, and allowed to go live with his father, according to the reports. So you have two, and by the way, just adding another detail to all of this, this is happening across the country, folks. These young people, and some of them young men, allowed to stay in this country. They've entered the country illegally. We've had reports in the wake of what's happened there in Maryland of 21-year-old men in the country illegally sitting in classrooms with 14 and 15-year-old students because they don't have enough English proficiency to be anywhere else. This is an outrage. This is an example of what is happening out there. And you know what? I got to read you this. Here's the comment from the school superintendent there. In the wake of a rape at Rockville High School in Maryland last week, Montgomery County Superintendent Dr. Jack Smith is accusing parents expressing concern about all this of racism and xenophobia. That's his reaction to this. Parents are concerned about the safety of their kids, and this guy is accusing them of being racist and xenophobics. What's a xenophobic? The definition is a fear and hatred of strangers and foreigners, of anything in strange or foreign. No, that's not the issue at all. And don't let the mainstream media cloud the facts here. And I get a little tired of the mainstream media referring to this as hatred of immigrants. This is not the case. First of all, no one is saying hatred of anybody. This has to do with illegal immigration. And the mainstream media leaves that word illegal out all the time, folks. This is not about immigration. Everybody knows that's what's made this country great. This is not about immigration. This is about illegals, criminals allowed to stay in this country. And a lot of it goes back to the policies of former President Barack Obama. So there you have it, folks. Not sure what's going to happen here, but I tell you what, the outrage is building across the country. This has become a national story, and rightly so. What is going to happen? It is one of the reasons that Donald Trump, when he was running for president, said he would make illegal immigration a priority. But then you have the reaction from the left that are willing to compromise and make their constituencies sanctuaries for these kinds of individuals. There is outrage building out there. All right, you're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy. We're back with a whole lot more on this Friday morning. Do stay tuned.
from Samaritan's Purse and Franklin Graham comes Facing Darkness. In 2014, as the Ebola virus was devastating West Africa,
the numbers of new cases and deaths are still rising.
International relief organization Samaritan's Purse stepped up.
God has called us to care for the dying, to care for those that are suffering.
We can't say we're Samaritan's Purse and not help.
My phone rang. One of our doctors, Kent Brantley, has Ebola.
And then David looked at me and he said, "You too have Ebola."
We're there to save life. We're there in your name. Why?
Despite the fact that things were out of control, we knew that God was in control.
God puts you in places and supplies the strength to deal with.
Jesus Christ didn't run. We run to the fire. We don't run away from it.
Facing Darkness, a true story of faith. In select cinemas for one night only, Thursday, March 30th. For theaters and tickets, go to facingdarknessmovie.com. That's facingdarknessmovie.com.
American Family Radio. Impacting America.
This is Kathy from Huntsville, Texas. I'd just like to say that listening to AFR on a daily basis has really brought me to a new realization as to my value as a Christian with regard to world affairs and my ability to stand up for our religious rights and be a part of a much-needed revival. I'm informed and led to help with a pure heart and strengthen my faith by each and every show host. The Christian worldview I've found is the only view that I want to follow, and I can stand strong with this daily encouragement and truth. Thank you, everyone.
Your partnership makes a difference. Join us for our three-day share-a-thon starting April 4th. American Family Radio, boldly standing for truth for your family.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Dr. Robert Bowen. I am the Dean of Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics, and I'm an Associate Professor of Physiology. So one of the benefits of being a faculty member at TMU is not only are we allowed to speak the gospel in the classroom and within our areas of discipline, we're encouraged to do so. Everybody needs to know the love of Christ. And so I try to incorporate in my classes, and one of the places that I incorporate in the most is in my office when I have students come in.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu. Today.
It usually takes quite a bit to get me exasperated, like finding out the Opryland Hotel does not serve sweet tea, something fairly significant. But I gotta tell ya, the Republican Party has given me a super-sized dose of exasperation. I mean, what don't they understand about the word repeal? Repeal, then replace. That's all they have to do. But instead of doing what we the people sent them to Congress to do, they're going wobbly again. First, they told us they could not repeal Obamacare unless they had a majority in the House. So we gave them the majority. Then they said they needed the Senate. So we gave them the Senate. But that wasn't enough either. They said they had to have the White House. But now, apparently, not even the Oval's enough. Well, I'm tired of their excuses. If the Republicans can't repeal and replace, we're just going to have to settle on repealing and replacing them. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to this Friday edition of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. And if you're just waking up, that alarm has just gone off. Here's the headline this morning, folks. House sets risky healthcare vote after Trump demands it. What happened overnight? President Donald Trump said, "I'm done talking to you guys about this healthcare repeal. You know, we're just finished. I've been talking to the moderates. I've been talking to the conservatives. Enough talk. I want to vote today." And House Speaker Paul Ryan says, "Okay, you're going to get your vote, up or down." White House says, "Okay, we'll live with the results, and if it goes negative, we're going to move on to other things." But I'll tell you what, this is a gamble. This is a huge gamble. I don't know if any other president would do this kind of thing, but President Donald Trump has rolled the dice, and he's willing to take the results, whatever they may be. And all kinds of speculation, what's happening in the back rooms right now, and perhaps to add to the speculation, we have Daniel Horowitz, who is senior editor at the Conservative Review and a regular guest here on Sandy Rios in the Morning. Good morning, Daniel.
Hey, great to be with you on this busy morning.
Are you surprised at what developed overnight? I'm surprised a little bit, but maybe I shouldn't be because this is Donald Trump.
Well, I think you have to start with the foundation before Donald Trump. Before,
okay.
You know, we have a Republican president, this is a party that doesn't share our values. I mean, I never mince words when I'm on with Sandy, so I'm just going to say it straight up. They fundamentally don't share our values. This has been going on for 5 years. Beneath the surface, but it hasn't boiled over. Republicans all ran on repealing Obamacare, but many of us knew that they didn't mean it. K Street and the Chamber of Commerce officially made it their position long ago to fix Obamacare, not to repeal it. And this is why there were a lot of primary challenges, Mitch McConnell, Thad Cochran, and a lot of it was litigated over this. But nonetheless, they swore up and down they were repealing it. Now they go put forth a bill that manifestly does not repeal Obamacare. It doesn't repeal the heart and soul of it, the Title I, I mean the regulation. It doesn't repeal it. But worse, it repeals the few elements that pervade it. So it takes the funding mechanism of the individual mandate away, and it makes it even more insolvent. It's like picking up a grenade, taking out the pin, and leaving it in your hand. So this is not just an ideological problem that it doesn't repeal the elements of Obamacare that made healthcare insolvent, but it actually makes it more insolvent. It is an interception. It's worse than doing nothing. And then there's tons of drafting errors in this. So to go and say, take it or leave it, we have to vote on a Friday, random Friday, or we're never doing it again, that's extremely intellectually dishonest, and it's very unfortunate that the president bought into that.
All right. What would you prefer be happening? More negotiations?
Well, one of two things. Either fulfill your promise, repeal Obamacare, or be honest and say you're too scared to and you're not doing it. Don't lie. That's number one. Or if you have some sort of other convoluted plan to play around, well, I'm going to repeal this but not this and this timeline, then you know what? That's very complicated, and you are playing with fire there. You need to have a proper CBO score. You need to have a proper analysis. You need to fix the drafting errors, and you can't rush this. Conservatives were ready to repeal it right away. They clearly don't want to repeal. Okay, but then it cannot be rushed. You got to get this right, because once you do this, you own one-fifth of the economy the same way the Democrats did for the last 6 years. You better do it right. There is this notion that you're going to push people up against an arbitrary timeline and say, well, what if we do this? What if we do that? And no understanding of the moving parts, because they're very intricately linked. It's extremely irresponsible. But then again, I'm hearing that the president told members that he doesn't care about the details of the bill. Go chew on that.
Yeah. All right. Let's deal with some numbers here. Party breakdown in the House right now, 237 Republicans, 193 Democrats. So that means only 21 Republicans can vote no for the bill to pass with no Democratic support. Now, what we hear, and correct me if I'm wrong, is there are about 40 or 50 of these so-called moderates that say that this bill goes too far. So what do you do, Daniel Horowitz, when you're facing those kinds of numbers, that kind of opposition? Do you believe there is still hope for those 40 or 50 to come over to the other side and join the Freedom Caucus or some movement from the Freedom Caucus?
Well, I think as far as the moderates are concerned, you know, a lot of people ask me, well, Daniel, the same way there's people like you that don't like you, have the moderates on the other end, what do you do about them? But this is where the president comes into play. The president, who has, you know, his own party controlling Congress, even though constitutionally the legislatures control the legislative agenda, but politically the president controls the major agenda when he, you know, when his party's in charge. So, I mean, Trump needs to pick a side. What is his idea? What does he want? And then once he would pick that, you give a series of policy speeches, you use the bully pulpit, and you get everyone in line. Instead, he allowed Paul Ryan to write this, and then nobody's happy. So that's why this is completely insufferable. You're not going to fix it, and you got to start over. It's better to do this right than push up against some arbitrary timeline. So I don't think there is a way to fix it late in the week this way. I think you have to start over from an entirely new philosophy.
So you're laying this at the feet of President Trump. Am I correct in that assumption?
I mean, again, ultimately, Ryan wrote a bill that was insolvent and had drafting errors in it. But, I mean, the president didn't exactly say what he wanted. and he just took whatever was handed to him. So, I mean, either he's a strong leader or he's not.
All right. Well, Daniel, we're going to wait and see what happens today. I understand there are a few what they call procedural votes today. But right now, it looks like there is going to be a vote at around 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock Eastern time today. And I guess we'll just have to wait and see. And maybe we can come back and discuss the results of all of this come Monday. But there we are on this Friday morning showdown at the OK Corral. Daniel, thank you for being with us. We appreciate it.
Really enjoyed it. Take
all
care.
Right. Daniel Horowitz, senior editor at Conservative Review. Hey, listen, love to hear from you right now. What do the Republicans do with this? You know, there are a lot of Republicans. Let's go back. By the way, our number, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. Here's the thing. Let's go back to November election night last year. Republicans, conservative Republicans, celebrating. Got the man in the White House. Got control of the House. Got control of the Senate. When that happens to Democrats, these Republicans say, hey, listen, it's full steam ahead. Look at what happened when Barack Obama became president. Yeah, I mean, they had Obamacare in place within a matter of months, just drove the agenda through. But their reasoning is, you know, how come it is with Republicans that there seems to be this infighting all the time? And I guess Daniel Horowitz was referring to this kind of ideological divide that occurs inside the Republican Party. So even though they have control of the House, the Senate, and now the White House, they still can't get this done. A lot of Republicans are upset about this. So 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. When you're bringing your calls in, I just want to bring you some other news, and we're going to get to our calls in just a second. But there's some other news overnight. The Trump administration has approved the Keystone XL pipeline. Trump administration issued a permit this morning to build the Keystone XL pipeline, reversing the conclusion of the Obama administration and clearing the way for the $8 billion project to finally be completed. And the decision caps a years-long fight between environmental groups and energy industry advocates over the pipeline's fate. So there is something, if you're a conservative Republican this morning, to celebrate. The aim of all of this, of course, is to drive down oil prices, obviously employment being involved here. So now you've got the Dakota Pipeline in place. That's working. And this is all happening in the first 100 days of the Trump administration, and now approval for that XL pipeline to bring oil in from Canada. So some success for the Trump administration. But the news, the big news this morning is this bill to replace Obamacare. If you're just joining us, President Trump overnight said enough of talking. There were supposed to be more negotiations today in the wake of not bringing, being able to bring the two parties together, the moderates and the conservatives yesterday. The vote that was scheduled for last evening around 5 o'clock Eastern time was canceled. And they're supposed to go and continue negotiations. But last evening, President Trump said, no, I'm through with it. And so now he's demanding a vote. And House Speaker Paul Ryan says there will be a vote today, win or lose, on this. The White House attitude, if we lose, we move on to other things. So it's an incredible gamble, but we're going to wait and see what happens. All right, let's go to our phones, 888-589-8840, the number to call. Let's head out to Texas on this Friday morning. And Kevin's on the line. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Not too bad. What do you think of all this mess in Washington?
Well, this the Obamacare thing just keeps bringing up a historical reference to me, and that's when George Bush Sr. said no new taxes and then signed more taxes into law.
Uh-huh.
And it just comes back to me thinking that, boy, he always got asked, don't you wish you hadn't set new taxes? And I think his actual stance was, boy, I wish I hadn't signed that tax bill into law.
Mm-hmm.
So it really seems the same to me where President Trump said, I'm going to repeal Obamacare. And here we just get another version of it. So I don't know. It just kind of comes across to me. Something that's running through my head is no new taxes, no new Obamacare.
Right. All right. So you're blaming, yeah. You would blame, where's your blame lie here? Is it with the president? Is it with the conservatives, the Freedom Caucus, or is it with those moderates? Where do you come down?
It's a mix. I do think the president in his leadership role really needs to get out and keep talking to the people.
Okay.
He's got to get out and articulate his stance and go back to his campaign promises. But obviously, I know we have a lot of rhinos in office up there, Paul Ryan being one who had no intention of repealing this. So I really fault the leaders in Congress the most.
Campaign
on what the president did, and they're not doing it.
All right. Thank you very much, Kevin. So Kevin's vote is, Mr. President, get out there, keep selling the idea of repeal to the American public, keep putting the pressure on the Paul Ryans and the moderates that are in the House. All right. There's where his vote is. Joanne in Texas, good morning. Where do you stand on all of this? Who's to blame?
I think it's legislature. I think it's Paul Ryan. I think our president is showing a really good example of, okay, guys, I gave you something. You told me this is what the people wanted. I'm believing you. Let's vote on it. And if it's not what the people wanted, the egg is on your face. Because I don't think he has the relationships. He doesn't know it as much as they should know it and what it takes to get exactly everything out of there that needs to be. I don't think they're being forthright in telling him everything. So I think the egg is on Congress's face.
All right, so you're blaming Paul Ryan and the moderates. Is that correct?
Absolutely. They're not presenting what he asked for. They're saying they are, but they're not.
All right, Joanne, we appreciate that very much. So the question is this morning, again, if you're just waking up, President Donald Trump is saying enough of the talk about this replacement bill for Obamacare. I want to vote on it. And we're just talking with Daniel Horowitz a moment ago, and he thinks, no, the president needs to go out and sell the idea of repeal a little bit more to the American people, who then should put pressure on the Paul Ryans of this world and the moderates to get this repealed and replaced. Where do you stand on this? That's our question this morning. So let's go to Oklahoma and Phil. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
This whole thing is a Ryan mess up. He's going to hang this around President Trump when he himself is a swamp person. He needs to go. McCain needs to go. Mitch McConnell needs to go because they've done nothing but drag their feet. They've had what they wanted. Now they're trying to, it's another ploy to, keep President Trump from getting the things done that he wants to do.
All right. So we have a divided party, and the call is for President Trump to just get tough. And what I'm hearing so far from you is that you think it's a mistake for the president today to say, I want to vote up or down a yay or nay on this today, Friday, the 24th day of March. Coleman in Texas, good morning. How do you stand on all of this? Who's to blame? Good morning, Coleman. Are you with us?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry about the delay. The person to blame, or rather the people to blame, is the entire Republican Party. Because I have to disagree with Ms. Horowitz is that it's evident that the constituency has stated that they are for repeal. It's evident with the Republicans taking over the House, the Senate, and the White House, and now with Gorsuch hopefully going to go into the Supreme Court, we'll have the Supreme Court as well. What is frightfully overlooked with the reform that they're proposing is that it doesn't address what's truly driving up costs for each American, which is pharmaceutical drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see this with the data that's produced by the CDC. In 1990, in total, retail sales for pharmaceutical drugs were $40 billion. Now, in 2014, it's at nearly $400 billion. And this could be directly attributed to regulation with the FDA. Thomas Sowell, in his great book, Applied Economics, just puts one study where Pfizer, a very large pharmaceutical company, submitted 5,000 compounds for approval. Only half a dozen were approved. And so they have to make their money back on the multi-million dollar research that they place in these compounds.
All right, Coleman, we're up against a break, but you're saying they have to, any repeal bill has to deal with the cost of pharmaceuticals. And that is certainly one thing, one concern. You know, the bottom line in all of this, it seems the Democrats are very united. They don't have the kind of division that we see in the Republican Party. Is this the kind of division that's going to bring the Republicans down? Much more ahead here on Sandy Rios in the morning. Fred sitting in. We're back after the break.
Whoa, we have not had a response like this before. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We've been doing these spiritual heritage tours for like 20 years. We're sold out for June already, if you can believe that. We've got space left on our September tours of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and then Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. We call them spiritual heritage tours, and I don't know how long these September seats will last. To what do you attribute that to, someone might ask? Maybe it's the fact that we have a new person occupying the White House. Maybe that has something to do with it. But in any event, we welcome you to come with us on our September Spiritual Heritage Tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon and Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. Those are two separate trips. You can do both, or you can do one or the other. We'd love to have you. Go to spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com.
Unwholesome television programs and unnatural social agendas. As believers, we use our religious freedoms to take out the trash in the media and society. Even children's magazines are in the crosshairs. Join 1MillionMoms.com and take action.
This is Monica Cole of 1 Million Moms. We need you to sign up and speak up for our children at 1MillionMoms.com. We are making the difference.
American Family Association has launched phase two of the Target boycott.
Tim Wildman.
Here's what I'm asking you to do. Number one, sign the boycott pledge if you haven't already. Number two, help get the word out about the Boycott Target campaign. And number three, make a contribution to help us with our social media ad campaign. We want Target to reverse this dangerous policy of allowing men into women's restrooms and changing areas.
Visit afa.net.
I'm a widow. I've worked for a bank for 31 years, and I've been retired now for 10 years.
Myrtle Norris comments on her experience with the AFA Foundation.
I had a lot of financial questions, and Dan Celia was, he answered my questions, and he helped me with a lot of decisions that I made. And then the charitable gift came up, and he explained that to me. I decided to get it, and I'm sure glad I did, because I know now that money is in a place that I know God wants it to be, and also get my monthly income from it. I believe in the AFA and what they're doing, because they're working for us.
Learn how the AFA Foundation can work for you. You can contact the AFA Foundation through Facebook, on our website, afafoundation.net, or call us at 800-326-4543, extension 345. Thank you for supporting the American Family Association.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The chickens hatched in North Korea during previous presidencies are coming home to roost on President Trump's watch. What is arguably the most dangerous regime in the world becomes more so by the day. North Korea has ballistic missiles capable of reaching parts of the United States. It has violated previous agreements aimed at preventing the North from obtaining nuclear weapons. It has been miniaturizing such weapons to mate them with ballistic missiles and perhaps satellites. Two such satellites are now routinely orbiting over the United States. If, as a former director of Central Intelligence believes, one or both may contain a nuclear bomb optimized to generate electromagnetic pulses, North Korea could destroy this country's electric grid and society at will. Unless addressed, the North Korean threat will continue to metastasize. All instruments of national power should be employed to prevent that. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. And, you know, by Friday sometimes, you know, the mainstream news kind of waning a little bit as we head into the weekend. No, not these days. You're just waking up this morning and just joining us. You need to know, a move by President Donald Trump last night said he's through negotiating with those Republicans on a replacement for Obamacare. He's had enough. Now, when you turned off your newscast last night, you probably heard that the vote was supposed to, that was scheduled for last evening, wasn't going to take place. They couldn't bring the parties together, the so-called Freedom Caucus and the moderates. Well, last night, President Donald Trump said, I'm through talking to you guys. I'm done. We're going to have a vote. And House Speaker Paul Ryan says, okay, we're going to have a vote today. No more talking. We're going to have the vote today, up or down. Now, the question is that pressure going to be enough to change the minds of some of those in the Freedom Caucus just to get it passed through the House, or those so-called moderates who want to keep many elements of Obamacare, those moderates? So that's the fight today, folks. Stay tuned throughout the day. Apparently, there's going to be a couple of procedural votes of some type, maybe on some more of the elements of this health care, this Obamacare replacement bill. But apparently, by 4:30, 5 o'clock this afternoon, Eastern Time, Washington Time, there is going to be a vote. Many people calling it a huge gamble by President Donald Trump. We've heard some callers this morning, our guest in the initial hour, Daniel Horowitz, saying, no, the president, this is a mistake. The president needs to go out and sell this, sell it hard, sell repeal hard, and then put their feet to the fire, these Republicans who don't want to go along with it. I don't know. The president's saying, you know, he's kind of done that. We've been talking for 7.5 years. Paul Ryan and Donald Trump are saying, and enough is enough. We're going to get this thing through. And the White House saying, if it fails, then we're going to move on to something else. Quite a gamble. Stay tuned today. Well, in the midst of all of this, this week, of course, other news breaking. We had several days ago, FBI Director Jim Comey was testifying before the House Intelligence Committee, confirming that there's an investigation going on with regards to possible Russian involvement in the election, possible contact with members of the Trump team. But then, within hours after that testimony, we had the chairman of the committee, Congressman Nunes, coming out, visiting the White House, and saying he has been viewing documents which indicate that there was some incidental spying on the Trump campaign by the Obama administration. At least that is the assertion. And so now we have that story making headlines. And where is that going to take us? Well, to help us see our way through this and what may happen is Fred Flights, who has served in the U.S. national security positions for 25 years, including with the CIA and DIA. And Fred Flights joins us this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good to be here, Fred.
All right. What are we to make of this? I mean, the mainstream media, I know, is going back and forth on this, and there's been the debate whether Nunes should have gone to the rest of his committee before he went to the White House. There are charges now that, you know, he is just catering to the White House. But take us through this whole idea of so-called incidental spying. Is this a normal thing? And or does Congressman Nunes have something there that maybe points and gives credence to what President Trump was saying back several weeks ago, that he had word that he was being spied upon?
I think Nunes has something. That's why the Democrats are desperately trying to discredit him. I believe for some time that there really was surveillance of Trump by the Obama administration. Let me say the Trump campaign, both by formally requesting surveillance of Trump officials through FISA warrants. This is a legal order to use foreign intelligence agencies to collect against U.S. citizens. It's a very serious matter. It's only supposed to happen in dire national security instances. I also think that Obama officials were scouring intelligence collected for other reasons to find references to Trump officials that they could leak to the media to hurt Trump. That's what I think Nunes found. Nunes said this intelligence that was brought to his attention had nothing to do with Russia, had nothing to do with Trump wrongdoing. But nevertheless, the names of Trump officials were demasked. See, when a U.S. official is mentioned, a U.S. citizen is mentioned in an intelligence report, it's blacked out to protect their privacy, and because this stuff isn't supposed to be used against Americans. If the name of multiple Trump officials were revealed in these intelligence reports, I think Nunes found something very, very significant.
Well, okay, let's just say, let's put a scenario out there, and we're not saying this is fact yet, but if I'm hearing you correctly, there's a possibility here that former President Obama either in the midst of the campaign or in the wake of the election, that he went to FISA, this court, and ordered surveillance over and above the allegations of talks between the Russians and the Trump team, that he wanted to find out, get information on what the Trump campaign was doing, what the, in the wake of the election, what they were planning to do, and then deliberately leaking this information to the public?
Well, I am not saying that the President Trump did this personally.
Or President Obama.
I'm saying the President Obama did this personally. I'm saying the Obama administration.
Okay.
There have been multiple press reports that there were FISA warrants requested to collect information against Trump officials and possibly a server in Trump Tower. Those haven't been confirmed. And I'm not going to say something's true when I can't confirm it. There's been too much of that going on. But Nunes found something different that I've also been arguing for some time. It's possible to gather intelligence against your political enemies without a FISA warrant. You could say, for example, to NSA, send us every intelligence cable you have on the Russian ambassador to the United States. And that's sent to the NSC, and Ben Rhodes goes through it to find any reference to what appears to be a Trump official, and then asks those names to be demasked. So he can say, well, we didn't ask for collection in the Trump campaign, but they went through intelligence to find references to Trump people. I think that's what happened, and I think that's what Nunes found.
All right. Is that illegal? Now, again, we have to go through these references to incidental and unmasking and masked and that sort of thing. If people in the Obama administration deliberately unmasked some of the names, is that illegal? And what is the penalty for it?
It's not illegal to demask the names. However, there has to be a very good reason for it, and the leaking of the names is illegal. Now, Congressman Schiff, the top Democrat of the House Intel Committee, he's very worried about this, and he's trying to say, well, you know, there's innocent reasons names could be demasked, like to understand the context of an intelligence report. That's true. And I can imagine maybe once they might have asked for a Trump campaign official's name to be revealed, although I find it very suspicious it happened even once. But for this to happen multiple times, I mean, it's impossible to believe that there were not political motivations behind that.
Hmm. Well, it's disturbing. I mean, where does Congressman Nunes go with this now? I mean, he goes back to the committee. He's apologized for going to the president with this information before the committee. But what does he do now? How does he move this investigation forward?
Well, let's talk about the apology. And, you know, they've also said that Nunes leaked classified information, and Nunes is being attacked for not giving his source to the Democrats. I don't blame Nunes for not bringing this information to the Democrats, because they would have leaked it to the New York Times to discredit the information. The Democrats have proven all they're out to do is to get Trump. I'm not sure it was a good idea to go to the president, but, I mean, this was Nunes' decision. I mean, he apologized for that. I take him at his word. I think Nunes has to push for a serious investigation. And there's a paper trail on who asked for these names to be demasked. Nunes has to get that. And I think that's what the Democrats are worried about. They're making all these unfounded allegations about collusion between Trump and the Russians, but Nunes has something solid. There is a paper trail on who asked for these names to be demasked. We have to find out who those people are.
All right. So you're dismissing also the call, mostly from the Democrats, for an independent investigation in all this.
I mean, it's just silly. Congress was set up to investigate issues like this. This is part of normal oversight. They want another investigation because they want an investigation that will favor the outcome that they want to see. It's just silly.
Okay. Hey, Fred Flights, formerly with the CIA, you know what you're talking about. Again, another story unfolding in this administration. We'll have to see where it goes. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good to be here. Thanks.
All right. Take care. Fred Flights, who's been with National Security and various divisions for 25 years. Very, very interesting. He is saying Congressman Nunes needs to continue his investigation, that he has got something here. What do you think? 888-589-8840, the number to call. Just got a few minutes left, but want to hear from you. 888-589-8840. We got three major stories going this morning. President Trump saying he's done. with the negotiations with the various factions amongst Republicans on the replacement for Obamacare. He wants a vote today, and House Speaker Paul Ryan has agreed with him. Is President Trump right in taking this tactic, this kind of gun to the head? I want to hear your points of view on that. We have this outlandish case in Maryland, Montgomery County, a 14-year-old raped allegedly by these two individuals who are in the country illegally, and they are now charged. And in the midst of all of this, Montgomery County, Maryland, the state of Maryland wanting to become sanctuaries for illegals. The lawyer for one of the accused last night being interviewed by Tucker Carlson on Fox News, basically suggesting that the character of the little 14-year-old girl ought to be brought into question. And now we have this other story. Congressman Nunes, according to our last guest, has something here that needs to be brought forward. And the advice to him from our guest was, Congressman Nunes, you got to move forward with this and forget all kind of the smoke and mirrors of the opposition from the Democrats on this. Move forward with it. There's a possibility that either former President Obama or somebody in his administration was out to get information of contact, of conversations going on within the Trump camp during the election campaign and in the transition period. So much going on today. Let's go back to our phones. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. Let's head to Louisiana. And Todd, good morning, Todd.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Frank. I want to talk about health care.
Okay.
And my question is, when Obama was in office, the Republicans had a bill ready to be signed that they all agreed on. Where's that bill? And one more thing. Why do we always have to come to a conclusion that, you know, the American people suffer, not the constituents and not the, you know, the lobbyists and the pharmacists and the doctors? You know, if the provisions in the bill don't accommodate them, then we suffer. The customers suffer. The patients suffer because I can't go to the doctors right now because health care is so high.
Yeah.
And why we can't bring down the cost? I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm. Well, Todd, that's the point I think that many in the Freedom Caucus and other Republicans are mentioning. They had 7.5 years, the Republicans, that is, to look at Obamacare. There were several votes to repeal, yet when they take power, they're not willing to do a straight-up vote on repeal. And that's what has many of conservatives in the Republican Party upset about this. All right, time for one more call. We'll try to squeeze it in here. North Carolina, James, good morning. Go ahead, sir.
How are you today, sir?
Doing fine.
I want to draw attention to the values that the Congress seems to have. If you notice, you know, Paul Ryan seems to be leading a Catholic coalition there, if you will, and it seems like the policies that they have always seem to go against the grain of the American people right now, but they're always in line with the Pope.
All right. Well, James, I'm not sure if we want to bring the Pope into the equation of this debate. But certainly there are enough divisions within the Republican Party, which I think is leading to this problem that we are facing today. And President Donald Trump is saying is enough. If you guys want to be divided, fine. I want to vote on this replacement bill for Obamacare. That's what we ran on, repealing Obamacare. You guys want to talk more? I want to vote. And that vote apparently is going to happen today. So stay tuned. Hey, good to be with you this morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy, Lord willing. And if the creek don't rise, we'll be back again with you on Monday morning. But stay tuned. Lots of news breaking throughout the day here at American Family Radio. Have yourself a good weekend.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.